turn to Psalm 119. This will be the last lesson in Psalm 119. Again, we'd like to read verses 169 to 176. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord, give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee, deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. We saw last week some characteristics about prayer that we see in these verses. We see several things that the psalmist prayed for. Again, keep in mind that as we see in almost every stanza, he's suffering persecution, he's suffering mistreatment and slander. But throughout the psalm, he stays focused upon God's word. And we see here in verse 171, he again, as he has several times, he prays to be taught the word of God. And he knew that such teaching would have an effect upon his attitude. It would have an effect upon his perception of things. For he said in verse 171, my lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. I will praise when, as a result of being taught thy statutes. So there would be a change in attitude. There would be a change in perception. And that's always true when we are taught the word of God and when God is teaching us his word when we're going through a difficult time. That changes our attitude. That changes our perception of things. We see also they had conviction concerning the word of God. In verse 172, he said, for all thy commandments are righteousness. He was sure of that. That was his conviction. And again, we need to have conviction concerning the word of God. We see also that this gave him courage to speak the word of God. He said, my tongue shall speak of thy word in verse 172. We see also that he chose God's word. Verse 173, I have chosen thy precepts. I have chosen the word of God. That is, for my guide, for instruction, I have chosen to stay focused on the word of God. And we see all through this psalm, all through the 119th psalm, the psalmist is promoting the greatness of God's word. Not only the greatness, but he is promoting the importance of God's word. And this is vital. And we stress this over and over and over and over again. God's word must have a major place in our life. It cannot just be Sundays. It cannot just be Wednesdays. That's not sufficient. That's not going to get you through. And this psalm declares, first of all, the psalm declares God's word to be of God. We see this over and over, especially in verses 1 through 9, that it's of God. And I'm afraid that a lot of God's people do not have that conviction I mean, they have it in their minds, and they will tell you that, yes, I believe that this is God's word. I believe that it is inspired of God, but they don't treat it that way. That doesn't show forth in their attitude toward God's word. So we have to have a firm conviction that this is God's word. That it is God's word. That, of course, will prevent questioning. That will prevent any attempt of putting God's word on the same plane as man's opinion. That will do away with all of those things. This is God's word. And he establishes that in these first nine verses by using the personal pronoun thy word, thy precepts, thy testimonies. Again, it is of God. And then he goes on through the psalm. He states in more than one place that God's word is eternal. Again, as we've said many times before, it takes on the character of its author. It takes on the very character of God. So it's God's word. It's eternal. It's settled. It's settled. It's not going to change. Notice in verse 89, forever, O Lord. So that's eternal. Thy word is settled in heaven. That is, it's not only eternal, but it's immutable. And of course, true eternity must have, there has to be immutability. We see, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. In verse 142, verse 151, and verse 160, he declares God's word to be true. Well, if it's of God, God cannot lie. God cannot deny himself. So everything in it is true. The truth is not based upon our understanding. The truth is not based upon our believing. That has no bearing. Our understanding has no bearing upon, or our lack of understanding has no bearing upon the truth of God. And our lack of belief has no bearing upon the truth of God. God's word is true. Whether you and I understand it, it's true. Whether you and I believe it, it's true. Throughout the psalm, he declares that God's word is pure. God is pure. God's word is pure. It's amazing how many, even who profess to believe that it's God's word, try to find mistakes. Try to find something that is wrong with God's word. God's word is pure. God's word is good. Verse 39. He declares that his word is good. It's good for us. It's never a bad thing. It's never a bad thing to be in the word of God. God's word is good. It's better than anything that man has written. God's word is faithful. Again, God is faithful. God's word is faithful. And it proves to be faithful over and over and over again in our lives. God's word is declared to be light, gives light for our path. There in verse 105, it's exceeding broad. It's exhaustless. Notice in verse 96, I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. You look all around you and you see an end to everything. But God's word, in contrast, is exceeding broad. There's no end. There's no end to the treasure of God's word. That's why you can read the same verse for a week And God will show you something different in it every single day. His word is exhaustless. You can read the same verse for a year, and God's going to just keep teaching from that same verse of Scripture. It is absolutely exhaustless. It's where he states in more than one place that his word is sweet, it's enriching, sweet as a honeycomb, its value is of more than all the silver and all the gold in all the world, and it's wonderful. In verse 129, he says, "Thy testimonies are wonderful." Thy testimonies are wonderful. And God's word is filled with wonders, things that will amaze us. We see that the psalmist reveals that God's word is a safeguard against sin. In verse 11, Psalm 119, verse 11, he says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." It is a safeguard against sin, especially when it's in a heart, not just in our minds. But even if it's in your mind, to some degree, that will protect you from sin. But if it's engraved in your heart, God's word proves over and over and over to be a safeguard against sin. It's an instrument of strength. God uses his word to give strength to his people. In verse 28. In verse 28, he says, "My soul melteth for heaviness." That's his condition. That's his circumstances. "Strengthen thou me according unto thy word." Strengthen me. My soul melteth. That is, the substance is disappearing. "Strengthen me. Fortify me." And he uses his word to do this. And we see throughout the psalm, God uses his word to bring quickening. That's the only thing that God uses. He always uses his word to bring quickening, to bring enlivening, to bring revival. God will always use his word. And that's why people are ignorant when they say, is that all we're going to offer people is the word? What else is there? That's what God uses. Your personality is not going to revive anybody. No preacher's personality is going to bring a revival. It's the word of God. And that's true in our individual lives also. God's word brings understanding. It helps us to understand things. We can watch the news today and we don't like what we see, but we understand. We understand what's happening because God's word gives us understanding. In verse 98, he says, "Thou through thy commandments," so this is something God does, "thou through thy commandments," through his word, "hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation." God's word gives wisdom. He said, or understanding. He says in verse 104, "Through thy precepts I get understanding." And that leads me to hate every false way. God's word gives order. God's word gives direction. He prayed in verse 133, "Order my steps according to thy word." God's word gives order to our lives. It gives direction to our lives. And again, as Brother Tim was saying, as you look around today, people have no order. They have no direction in their lives. That's because the word of God has no place in their lives. And sad to say, many of God's people have very little order in their life, very little direction in their lives. But we can have order. It is, life does not have to be chaotic. It doesn't have to be chaos. It doesn't have to be turmoil. There can be order. And order comes from following the word of God. The psalmist throughout this psalm also teaches that God's word ought to be a priority. It ought to be a priority in our lives. Now, I realize that everybody has responsibilities and everybody fills their days with things that you have to fill your day with. I mean, there's no way of getting around it. You have jobs and these things take time. I understand all of that. But God's people need to make. They need to make a choice that God's word is going to have a place of priority in my life. You cannot, or it does not work. It does not work to try to separate work from spirituality, or school from spirituality, or whatever. It is all to go together. Well, this is the way I am at work, or this is the way I'm at school, and this is the way I am at church. Or it shouldn't be any different. And the way we get there is God's word has to have a place of priority. And the psalmist, we see that as you read through the 119th Psalm, that God's word had a place of priority in his life. Now, all he had was a little bit of the Old Testament. We have, of course, the whole thing. We see also throughout the psalm, he states his desire for God's word. And we have to have a desire. We have to have hunger for God's word. And again, if the desire isn't there, if the hunger isn't there, that is a symptom of a greater problem. You stand in great need if you do not have a desire for God's word. And I'm not just talking about, again, Sunday mornings or Sunday evenings or Wednesday evenings. This has to be a daily desire for God's word. Throughout the psalm, he talks about meditating upon God's word. That is, God's word had a place in his thinking. And God's word ought to have a place in our thinking. And sad to say, you talk to many who profess to be saved today, and God's word doesn't have any place in their thinking whatsoever. And that's why you get people who say, well, I separate politics from religion. How do you do that? If God's word has a place in your thinking, it affects your politics, it affects everything. It absolutely affects everything. So we meditate upon God's word. We see throughout the psalm, he declared that he stood in awe of God's word. He feared God's word. That is, he had a respect. He had a respect for the word of God. He had an eagerness for the word of God. He ran after the commandments of the Lord. He proclaimed God's word. Throughout the psalm, he declares that he proclaimed or declared the word of God. I guarantee you, if it's in your heart, it's in your mind, it's going to come out of your mouth also. And you're not ashamed to proclaim God's word. And when the lost world asks us what we think of whatever is going on, we ought to proclaim the word of God. This is why this is happening. This is the nature of man. We are given opportunities daily to proclaim the word of God. The psalmist declared over and over that he did not forget God's word. That is, he made effort to remember God's word. And by nature, we forget things that we ought to remember. And we have to make a conscious effort to remember. To remember God's word. You do whatever you have to do to remember it. But remember God's word. Throughout the psalm, he prays that God would teach him his word. That is, he had a desire to learn God's word. We all can learn from God's word. Because God's word is exhaustless, none of us have arrived. None of us know everything that there is to know about any verse of Scripture. So we can learn. And the best place, the best teacher, of course, is the Lord. He also declared that he obeyed God's word, that he sought God's word. And certainly we ought to seek God's word. When we have a problem, we ought to seek. What does God say? When we have a need, we ought to seek. What does God say? That ought to be our first concern. What does God have to say about this? Seek God's word. But so many people, they get on the phone and they ask everybody's opinion, what would you do, and on and on and on. Seek God's word. You can't go wrong doing that. Just seek what God says. God's word throughout the psalm is an object of trust. It's something we can trust in because it's eternal and it's settled. It's also an object of hope. And throughout the psalm, he declares his love for God's word. So the psalm is a declaration of the importance of God's word in our lives. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17. And begin reading with verse 18. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. Write him a copy. The enemies of truth will always say, well, what you have is a copy. Yeah. Every book that you own is a copy. It's not the original. It's a copy. That doesn't mean it's inaccurate. And God's word is a copy of the original. Well, we don't have the original. But don't you think God is powerful enough, wise enough, able enough to make sure that we have a perfect copy? You know, Paul referred to the letters to Laodicea that he wrote. And obviously, they weren't inspired because they're not in God's word. And I had a man come to me once who really was an enemy of truth, and he said, wouldn't you love to read the letters of Laodicea? Oh, what might be in those letters? I said, brother, you need to read what you got. Don't worry about the letters of Laodicea. They weren't inspired, or God would have put, oh no, they've been lost. God is able. If God wanted the letters of Laodicea put in here, they'd be here. But they're not. We have a copy. And I believe it is a perfect copy. God is able to preserve his law. So he says, write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites, and it shall be with him. That is, this copy shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. All the days of his life. He shall read therein. And that's what we're to do. We're to read the Word of God every day. We get to a point where we can't see, then we need to have it read to us. But God's word needs to be read every day. And then notice the next word, that. You read to accomplish something. That he may learn to fear the Lord. By reading God's word, we learn to fear God. We learn to reverence the Lord. The two go hand in hand. Reading God's word daily, we learn to fear the Lord. We also learn, these are all things that we learn to keep all the words. That is, we learn to be faithful. Read all the days of your life that you may learn to reverence God, that you may learn to be faithful, that you may learn to be obedient, to do them. Last three words of the verse, to do them. Read in order to do. Read and obey. Then it gives some other benefits of this reading. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren. So it serves as, a preventive. God's word prevents us from sin. God's word prevents us from pride. It's pretty hard to stay proud if you stay in God's word. It's pretty hard to do that. In fact, it's impossible. And then it goes on, and that, again, this all goes back to read therein all the days of his life, and that he turned not aside from the commandments. Reading God's word helps us to be steadfast. We will forget. And that's why we need to read over and over and over and over. Because if we don't, we will forget. And there's no doubt in my mind that a lot of God's people have forgotten almost everything they've been taught. And the reason for that is they themselves did not make personal application. Read God's word. Make it an everyday practice to read God's word. And someone may say, well, you tell us that all the time. Yes, and I will as long as I have breath, as long as I'm here. Because it is of vital importance. There's nothing you can do to replace it. You say, well, I'll buy a devotional book and I'll read that. That does not replace reading God's word. If you want to read a devotional book, go right ahead. But don't use that to replace the word of God. Well, it gives a little verse of scripture. It doesn't replace reading the word of God. It's better than nothing, but it doesn't replace reading God's word. We need to be a people of the book. We need to be a people that read God's word, that study it, that search it. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer.